It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with feckology. Feckology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Feckology.
Alright. I think you're doing the intros these days.
Alright. Well, everybody, it is episode 4 of Feckology, the podcast that makes the unimportant seem important, that makes the unfunny seem funny, and it makes something else do something else. I am the Big Mouse, and I'm here with my co-host and trusty companion, Trainer. How are you today, Trainer?
I'm very well, thanks. Yes, good afternoon, everyone, or whenever I release this later on. So we're going to go straight into it now because time is of the essence. But as you just said to me via text message, it's the beauty of having a 20-minute format that we can slot these in pretty much at any time. So let the listener know, Big Mouse, what is the topic for today's Feckology?
Shit friendships. This topic is especially relevant to older males, I think, and the difficulty with making new friends and maintaining new friends, especially as you move through life. So I have an example of a shit friendship, and I believe you have an example of a shit friendship as well, or maybe one or two.
I do have one from a few years ago. Yeah, your one sounded more interesting though, so let's lead with that, and then if we get to my example then later on, let's go with that one as well.
Well, let's see what the listener thinks. So, listener, I'm going to tell you about, and Trainer, I'm going to tell you about my recent experience with a shit friendship. So, this was about 18 months ago when I left a previous job and I decided to maintain the friendship with another male colleague.
Okay.
And I'm saying male because or man or whatever it is, the correct thing. Because most of the people I work with are female and there are natural breeders. I don't know why I'm using such weird voices. I don't know what my actual voice is at this point. But yes, so mostly it's women I work with. So when there's a man around, you're like, oh, it could be someone for the friendship.
Yeah.
It could be someone I could spend time with in a one-to-one intimate basis in a platonic way for prolonged periods of time. So we were getting on well.
That is essentially a friendship really there, isn't it?
Yes, friendship. I'm just making it sound weird, I suppose. So I'm a guy who doesn't pick up many friends that often. I kind of stay with my group from 20 years ago. And here and there, I might pick up a friend. Anyway, I decided this is the guy. He has the criteria. So we got on well in my previous workplace. We didn't really spend too much time alone, but we'd bump into each other in the corridors and we'd exchange pleasantries and talk about things and gossip about work stuff. And it was always enjoyable. And I remember when I left work, he organized a really nice party for me in work, like with cakes and sarnies and things of that nature, and cards and everything like that. And I was taken aback by it.
Pulled out all the stops.
He did, yeah. And it was good. And so I decided, right, I'm gonna keep in touch with this fella. We're going to have a friendship, an ongoing friendship that transcends the current job that we're in together. So I went on to my new workplace, and a few weeks passed, maybe a couple of months. And I decided I'm going to reignite this friendship. So we decided to meet for coffees, starting off coffee/lunches. So it was nice. There was the excitement of meeting this friend and the kind of smug satisfaction that I'm making a new friend. I'm doing everything right here. That was what it was mainly. I can settle myself down. I'm a real human being who makes new friends in his late 30s.
Yeah.
And there was that part of it. So the initial stages were nice. We talked about old work stuff that was still kind of relevant and recent. And there was a bit of energy around that. And there was gossip about what's she doing now? What's her like? What's she like? And is she still doing that to you? And so on. But after a while, the weeks and the months passed and it became formulaic. So it became a set coffee, set lunch in a set location. talking about the same things, which was previous work experiences, previous work colleagues, and talking about sport. I won't say too much about the sport because I don't want to say too many details. And every, like, you could plan the conversation in advance almost. It was almost like, oh, we're going over to our slot now about sport because we've talked about the bitch, the previous bitch in work. And now we're going to talk about sport for 10 minutes and that'll be us. And then we're going home. And it's almost, and then eventually I was noticing myself saying, thank God it's over. And I think he was too. It was so what happened was we continued this on and it was kind of losing its magic.
It's a charade at this point.
It was a charade at this point. Because I didn't give a shit about Sheila in the old job anymore because I was gone on and he didn't care about the people in my work. And there was one moment where he was talking and then it just came into my head as clear as day. This is shit. I'm not enjoying this guy's company. And that's it, I said in my head. And there and then I dumped him in my head. And he must have done the same thing to me because he didn't follow up after that either. So I decided not to follow up, and he didn't decide to follow up. And I think we're both satisfied with the conclusion of not being friends.
So a couple of questions that came to mind when you were telling that story. I can relate to it because I had a similar experience. But when you were in work, did you have common things that you talked about that weren't work related?
We had one common thing, which was the sport that we
Okay,
would
so
talk about.
just the sport. And then let's say you were like at home in the evening, would you be texting each other talking about stuff, or was it only when you were in work?
Only in work.
Okay. So I think what happened here is this is the classic work friendship. And this happens to me over the years, and it has happened a few times where you're working in close proximity with somebody, or even just on the same team, and you strike up a friendship. And then when you either leave the job or you move on from that team, even within the job, you find that once your common ground is gone, there was very little basis for your friendship to begin with. And in fact, it was probably all bitching about people in work. And once that becomes 6 months old or 12 months old, or in some cases years old, it's kind of pathetic then because, you know, neither of you really wants to be talking about that anymore. And you know you've got nothing else. So you cling to that. And then you find, I find as well that this has happened to me, the same stories get told again and again. About, like, about you, let's say. And you're just like, are we really telling this? And it reminds me of a scene in The Sopranos, where Paulie is reminiscing about the past, and Tony Soprano gets really pissed off with him. And Paulie's like, what's your problem? He's like, I'll tell you what my fucking problem is, because remember when is the lowest form of conversation. He's basically saying, just blankly reminiscing about the past and not anything else is just like, it's nothing. It's not even anything, you know? And like, I found that myself with people. So I used to work with them. Don't work with them anymore. Don't dislike them necessarily, but I have absolutely nothing in common with them. When the common team or working together thing ends, it's gone then. And then you realize that there was really nothing there to begin with.
And you got on like a house on fire during in work and everything was going well. And maybe for those first couple of times you met them afterwards, like, oh, this could keep going. But then it sort of fizzled out. Did you have that experience of it fizzling out?
Yeah, I mean, I won't say the name of the company, but you're well aware that me and some of other people we know used to work in a shop in, let's say, in South Dublin. You probably know what I'm talking about, do you? Several friends of ours worked there. Yeah, and then afterwards, we would meet up with the other people we used to work with, and it was very much a remember when type of conversation, and it just really fizzled out. And there was nothing to talk about. Now, I'd stayed friends with some of the people anyway because they were pre-existing friends. But when we met the people who used to work in the shop, it was that remember when conversation or laughing about the same things, talking about the same things you've talked
And
about.
I remember that shop you because there's a few of you working there, and you used to go out all the time after work or things like that. When you met them outside of work, did you continue to go out? Did that part stop as
Yeah,
well?
so that was what that we met up with them a few times and had social like occasions, like went out and stuff to the same places we would have gone when we were all working together, but it had just completely changed for forever after the point of finishing working with them. And then they were still talking about the job because they still worked there. And like you were saying, in your own head, you're like, I don't care about these people anymore. That's gone. You know, I have a new job now.
There's almost like a dark side of humanity. It's almost like these people are of no use to me anymore. It's fuck the friendship, fuck the connection and the bond, and it's what use do these people have to me anymore?
But
And
like,
it's now minimal.
I think I said when we were chatting about this episode in advance, it's like you're trying to salvage something from the unsalvageable when you try to force a friendship with somebody you used to work with and then you don't work with them anymore. It's like sometimes it's better just to let people go, I think. Like in your case,
yes,
he was clearly happy with it as well. But I have an example from a job years ago. I used to work in a call center and there was this bloke who was very interested in being friends with me. And we had kind of a mutual interest in that we were both either had previously been or were in the pursuit of two females in the job who happened to be friends with one another. This is years ago now, long time
ago.
I like
the way we're using male and female in the most awkward way.
So he had been going out with this girl and then I was kind of interested in her friend and blah, 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 blah. And that was our bond, like about talking about that. And and then he was like, that passed. That was no longer a thing, right? They were off the table. And then there was this whole period of months afterwards where we were just kind of chatting and then going for a pint and stuff the odd time. He was still kind of working there a bit and I was a small bit. This was a very much a work on whatever hours you kind of want type of place. It wasn't a 9 to 5 Monday to Friday. And then what I realized about him later on was that this person was somebody who collected friends. He didn't really let go of anybody he'd been friends with over the years. And he kept friendships up with people he'd had 3 jobs ago or like 10 years ago or whatever. And he would invite you out for a pint and you'd be like, I'd be kind of like you going, are we still at this? All right, grand, come on. And I was kind of thinking the same. Okay, I'm keeping holding on to a friend here. Sure, why not? And then I'd arrive there and he would have invited 3 other people from different aspects of his life who didn't know one another. Right. So you'd think you were going for a one-on-one pint and you'd arrive and there's 3 other people there. And he's like, this is my friend Maxwell. And this is my friend Tony. And this is my friend Dunica. Right. These are made up names, of course. And you'd all be sitting there going, and no one had been smartened up to the fact that we were arriving at this event where none of us would know one another, right? And I was already struggling in one-on-one with him. But this has actually made it more difficult because you were just sitting there going, right, not only do you want to hold on to this failing friendship, but you want me to integrate with all of your other friends from different walks of life that you've clung on to over the years. And it's like there's strength in numbers or something like that. But
oh my God,
that was another one of those. And what happened eventually was he eventually invited me to the afters of his wedding, not the full wedding. And I had something already planned for that day. And I said no, because I said, I think I'm going to be drinking all day that day. I was going to the Irish Craft Beer Festival, actually, I remember. And that was you go in at noon, you drink a lot of beer, and then, you know, you go home, whatever. I think you went to one of them one time in the RDS.
Yeah.
But he was, I would have been drinking for 8 hours before the afters would have started. And I was like, I'm sorry, but I can't. I think he was really offended by that I'd said no. And then I never spoke to him again. So there you go.
I've experienced that as well. That is a shit friendship around when people mix and match you with other people. And it can be very awkward because in your example, I can really identify with it because I've been in that situation where I didn't have a strong enough bond to catch up with the protagonist.
Yeah.
So it was awkward enough with the protagonist. And then he's putting you in a situation around other people and you're not actually going to talk to the main person.
Yeah.
You're going to talk mostly to you're going to have awkward conversation with the other arseholes who you don't know and you don't care about. and they always seem like arseholes. You're always oh God, this person, and this new person.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this guy subjected me to this.
I know.
So that's
another thing I want to ask you was, did you ever get like the joy of cancellation with this shift friendship? Like if one of you cancelled, let's say he cancelled and you were absolutely delighted about that.
Yeah, that's when you kind of know, isn't it? When it's cancelled and you're like, yes. Or as Larry, on the other hand, Larry David would say when someone invites you to something, when you're dreading it for like the whole week or the whole,
or the whole month.
Did he say the whole month? Yeah,
whole
it ruins
month,
your whole month
yeah.
to know that you have a plan with somebody who's a shit friend.
Yeah, it's like, and yeah, exactly. If you're really, really happy when the thing is cancelled, it's probably a bad sign. There's another thing that's related that I wanted to mention. I read it a while back. It's called the traffic light test. So this is the measurement of a good friendship versus a shit friendship. The traffic light test is when you're driving, somebody's giving you a lift home after you've been out and you're enjoying the conversation or just being with the other person so much, you know it's coming to an end, but you're hoping for red lights on the way home because you get to talk some more. I think that's a good indicator of a good friendship. But a shit friendship is probably delighted when it's finished, more delighted when it gets cancelled, and hoping that
Yeah.
you don't really have to do it anymore.
Exactly. And counting down the time till it's over. I've been in
Yeah.
that position as well. It's almost like it's a bit like the guy collecting friends. It's almost like you're saying to yourself, I've done a good job here. But in reality, the connection isn't there. But you're just saying to yourself, look at me. I have friends and I met up with them. I've collected them together and I can tick that off as somebody who has loads of friends and I can go home and relax now,
Yeah.
even though there's no friendship at
I
all.
know, I don't think he's ever going to listen to this, but like he'd be the type of person who would like have like read all of the books you're supposed to read in your life, you know, every single one of them.
Oh.
Yeah. And I like all of the music you're supposed to know about.
No,
He'd
no.
know about it and have an opinion on it and like just enough about everything. But like beneath that, there was actually no personality. He didn't have any personality at
No
all. Like, and I
depth.
think that was the issue,
Yeah.
really. And look, that's not his fault, really.
I've
But
come
it's
across people like that as well, that like I've seen people, whatever topic you're talking about, they'll whip out the phone and Google it. They just
yeah.
need to tell you that fact.
Yeah. No, I mean,
And
like this lad could talk about Jack Kerouac or Beethoven or Shakespeare or whatever, but like it didn't equate to a personality. It was just he knew it all because someone recommended it once in a blog or something, and he's like, right, I'm gonna read
he's just
that.
like, so Beethoven was an interesting composer, wasn't he? He was very
Yeah, he's like,
influential, wasn't
I'm not going to get caught out in a conversation about this. I'm going to come well equipped.
Yeah, got all the bases covered. I've got my two lines about everything. Well, those are shit friendships. And have you any other points on them?
Not really, no. Some people I've managed to break the work barrier with, as in, there's a couple of people I'd still be friends with where we only were friends because we worked together and now it have managed to maintain it, but those are few and far between, I think. So hold on to those ones, definitely.
Yeah, I think in terms of solutions to shit friendships or how to make non-shit friends, I think shared interests is key, isn't it? You have demonstrated that. You've made lots of friends in the last couple of years. Shout out to Melissa and all of the people scattered across the world. Nesbitt, shout out to him. These are just the people I've had interactions with. There was a lady from Chile, I believe. Anyway,
Chile, Costa Rica, you're thinking of
Costa
Alejandra.
Rica, excuse me, Alejandra, and lots of others, and all of the listeners out there.
Yeah. And then you think about it this way, like if you did manage to hold on to all of the friends you used to work with, sure, you'd never get anything done. Like you'd have
Yes.
75 friends, you know, that's like you've worked with across the years. You know, you have to cut the fat at some point as well.
Yeah, there's some number in psychology. There's some, it's referred to as some number. I might just Google that now. And would you say something for a minute while I Google that? It's around the number of friends that
I
a
think
human
I
being
know
can
what
have.
you're talking about here.
Just
It's
Google it,
reminded
yeah.
me of some phrase. If you can count, if you need more than one hand to count your good friends on as an adult, then you're doing very well. Something like that. There's an optimum number as a certainly as a man at of a certain age that if you have this amount or this number, actually, you're doing extremely well. Is that
Yeah,
in the
there's
ballpark of what
it's
you're talking
related
about?
to that exactly. This number I'm looking at it here. It's called Dunbar's number. It's I'm like that guy who you were mentioned there, who knows a little bit now.
About everything.
British anthropologist Robin Dunbar says the maximum amount of friendships or relationships that human beings can have is 150, and that's higher than I thought. But I presume that includes like all types of relationships.
Acquaintances and colleagues and all that.
Yeah, all of that. And this article on BBC is asking whether that's different now that we have it. Oh, here, sorry, it goes into closer details here. It says, according to the theory, the tightest circle has just five people, loved ones. So that's like your tightest circle. That's followed by successive layers of 15 good friends, 50 friends, 150 meaningful contacts. Oh, sorry, this is more than 150. I don't know what's going on here. 500 acquaintances and 1,500 people you can recognize. I've just
All right.
lost
Oh.
myself in all those numbers there. I presume
Yeah.
the listener has as well. But five close ones, and then 15 on the next layer, and then 50 on the layer outside of that.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, that probably makes sense. All right. Yeah.
Well, I can't carry the conversation about this any further because I don't know anything
Because
else about it.
it differs to the first thing you read, and now you're lost.
I'm confused. And yeah, that's an example of what that guy is like to be around.
Anyway, okay, that's probably going to do it for this episode. Short and sweet, as always, on Fecology.
Yes, exactly. Heavy on the short and something on the sweet. I don't know.
Work
Something.
on that one.
Yeah. Do you have any concluding comments for this week's episode of Fecology?
You know what? I think friends are like clothes. Some of them are classic, timeless pieces that never go out of fashion and you might wear for your entire life. But some of them are fleeting, fast fashion items that you pick up on an unplanned trip into the city centre where you weren't even looking for any clothes and you bought them. And they suit you for a while, but after a while, you do a big cull and you dump a load of them in a skip. And maybe you should treat friends in a similar way.
Let's close with that close analogy.
Excellent. All right. We'll see you next time. If you want to contact us, it's at Fecology on Twitter. And that's about it, really.
Bye bye.
It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Fecology. Fecology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. It's Trainer and the Big Mouse in your feckin' house with Fecology. Fecology. The observations that we make and promises we break with no apologies. No apologies. So get your lollies and listen to Fecology.